Yeah, thanks very much, Shane. Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. Here we go.
It's the Ray Dassey Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Jeremy. Good afternoon. Friday afternoon, 51551 for your texts. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. The Mary Wallopers are over in Studio 8, and I'm really looking forward to hearing them play live. And I know you're going to be really excited by hearing them. They're just, there's such energy about them. Brilliant band.
Oh, it's all for me grub, me jolly jelly grub. It's all for me beer and tobacco.
Yeah, that's the Mary Wallopers later on. We also have Miles Dungan of this parish, as they say, in this parish. He has a new history book for children, which is huge. So it's, I think it's 1,000 years of Irish history. And Miles is coming in to talk to us about that and his life and loads of other things. Anything that comes up. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Sabutio is back. We don't know exactly why. It never went away, some people would say, but it was in the papers today and we decided to get a Sabutio table into Studio 8, and there will be a challenge and there will be a game later on, which I'm really looking forward to as well. You know, he flicked the kick and I didn't know, and we'll be talking to Andy about that in a moment. Have you had enough of Bono yet? He's on the cover of Hot Press magazine. You might know he has a book out at the moment called Surrender. It's his biography or a memoir. I don't know. What's the difference between a biography and a memoir? Anyway, somebody explain. 51551. And he was also on the Stephen Colbert show. And he answered a question that probably isn't answered in the book. So we play this for you. He was asked about his favourite sandwich.
Bono, what is the best sandwich?
A chip butty. It's a sort of chips as in like French fries.
French fries?
Like French fries with butter on really plain bread. Grew up on them, love them, chip buddies.
That is the most Irish sandwich I can imagine. It's potatoes on bread.
I know.
With butter. That does sound fantastic.
Yeah.
That does sound fantastic.
Of course, he should have went on to ask him, do you think a chip buddy is better than a crisp sandwich? There's a debate you could have over the weekend. Because sometimes with the chip butty, I've never had one myself, but I would imagine, you know, the fat and the oil from the chip soaks into the bread. Probably that's not good. Maybe people think that is good. But with the crisp sandwich, you have the difference in texture. And food isn't just about flavour. It's also about texture. So you have the softness of the fresh white pan loaf, the butter, and then you have the crispiness of the crisp. So I don't know if you were to do a vote. We're not going to do it today, but I would imagine the crisp sandwich would win out over the chip butty. But that's just my opinion. Maybe I'm completely wrong. Since we're talking about Bono and music, Jules Holland is celebrating this weekend 30 years of Later with Jules, which I think is one of the best shows on television. And probably that's the reason it has survived. It's no gimmicks. It's just Jules Holland, who loves music and can play music, and people that he likes playing music and loving music. And that's what they've been doing for 30 years. And they're celebrating this weekend, tomorrow night, with a big party. Robert Plant, first aid kit. Richard Hawley's going to be there. C6 Steve, who probably can credit Jules Holland with breaking him. Martin and Eliza Carthy. There's loads more. And Imelda May is there. Imelda May. And of course, she could credit Jules with helping her be, you know, where she is today.
I can promise easy days.
That's Dermot Kennedy, but this is Imelda May. Imelda May on Later with Jules 12 years ago in 2010. And the aforementioned Bono, they appeared not often, but they appeared in 2014.
If you go your way and I go mine, are we so helpless against the tide, baby? Every dog on the street knows that we're in love.
And there's something about the performance on Later with Jules, because they're surrounded by their contemporaries, their fellow musicians, and they raise their game, I think, because that's their audience in the studio. So that was Bono back in 2014, Every Breaking Wave, and you heard a bit of it earlier on. Earlier this year, Dermot Kennedy was on, and in the background I spotted Colin McInerney on violin or fiddle or whatever you're having yourself.
I can promise easy days, and I can keep the rain away, and God is so to sing without your loving. Isn't that worth something? I might show up a little late, I'll try to learn from my mistakes, and God is so to sing without your loving. Yeah, isn't that worth something?
That was a great performance, and Dermot Kennedy's new album out, and he's featuring the RT Guide this week. And they had folk, Irish folk music on over the years, and Christy Moore has been on it a number of times.
Right on, see you. I could never go with you no matter how I want.
Moore and Declan Sinnott on Later with Jules. And Jules Holland is eternally young. He definitely has a portrait in the attic. But happy birthday, Later with Jules, this weekend on the BBC. They have a big birthday bash. And if I was a producer on Later with Jules, I'd be giving the Mary Wallopers a ring and ask them to appear, because they're fresh and they're punky and they're like the Pogues were back in the day. Are you still doing Wordle? I gave up on it. I don't know why. I think it must have been the summer holidays and then never went back to it. But it's back in the paper today, and some people have just continued on doing it. I know my sister was on to me to know if I wanted to get into some WhatsApp group with her and my mother and share our scores. So maybe I'll get back into it this weekend. Anyway, they were trying to figure out the most difficult word on Wordle. A gaming site called I'm a Puzzle attempted to figure out the hardest words, trawling through data stored in a Twitter API called Wordle Stats. And they figured out the top 10 most difficult words in Wordle. Are you interested or not? No, you know Wordle, it's five letters and you have six attempts to get the word. And it tells you if a letter appears, you get green if it's in the right spot, and you get orange if it's in the word but not in the right spot, and you go through it like that, you know it. Anyway, at number 10, tacit. At number 9, found. At number 8, trite. Coily is at number 7. Cater is at number 6. Mummy is at number 5, because there's three M's in that, you see. That's how people were caught with that. Watch. Why is that difficult? Because there's only one vowel in it. W-A-T-C-H. Catch is similar. Foyer. Yeah, that's a tough one. But the most difficult word, as calculated by I'm a Puzzle, is parer. Parer, P-A-R-E-R. Probably because it's not a word you think of, you know. Something used to pair things, you know. A small sharp knife that cuts fruit and veg. Very few people got that within six tries. So pair, the most difficult word. That's a bit of information you can bring with you to the pub or wherever you're going this weekend. Did you know, the man on the radio said, that pair has been the most difficult word on Wordle since it started. It's nearly a year old, is it? Is it Wordle a year old now? It's about a year old. Yeah, just I think it is a year old now. Though they didn't have a birthday party. Engineer Justine Haupt, H-A-U-P-T, has created an old-style rotary mobile phone. What's a rotary phone, Ray? That's what the young people are saying. It's back in the day when you had to dial a number. Dial it. You had to dial it, yes. You know, yeah. 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 Remember? Yeah. Yeah. And then a 9, you had to go. Yeah. 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 There it is. So it's built with modern components, but it's the antithesis of the thing you have in your pocket or your handbag now. You can't use the rotary on smartphone to look at Instagram or to post on Facebook. It doesn't take photos. Certainly can't capture videos. It won't notify you when you have an upcoming calendar appointment. You can't use it to listen to your music on Spotify or Tidal or wherever. Can't even send text messages. All it does is allow you to quickly and easily make calls by making this sound. Yeah. There is one small concession to modernity. It can receive texts. So it acts like a pager. You can't send them, but you receive them. So if somebody wants to contact you badly, they can send you a text. So that's space engineer Justine Haupt and the rotary phone. Now, we've gotten into bed with the Folk Awards this year, the RTE Radio 1 5th Annual Folk Awards, and we're playing you the nominations for the Best Original Folk Track. One a day until next Thursday. It happens on Thursday night next week in Vicar Street. I think there are still some tickets available. Mary Black will be there on the night receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award, and Paddy Maloney posthumously will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. So today's track, because it's not a song, is from one of our favourite Irish musicians at the moment, Cormac Begley. And Cormac has been on the show a number of times, and it's great to see that he's nominated for Best Original Folk Track. The piece is called To War, and it's dedicated to Cormac's godson, Soren. Soren is a Viking name, meaning god of war. So this is it's Cormac Begley, and To War! And that's nominated for Best Original Folk Track in this year's RTE Radio 1 5th Annual Folk Awards. Andy, what age are you?
I'm 46. Yeah. 46, okay. Right? Yeah.
You should know better. You should know. You're still playing with toys, Andy, at your age.
I am. I'm still playing with toys. And look, I think we should all be playing with toys. I mean,
you're actually right.
It is.
Playing is so important.
It's mindfulness. It brings us back into back into a happy place. You know what I mean?
Isn't there a return to adults playing with Lego? But we're not talking Lego today. We're talking Sabutio.
That's what it is. Sabutio. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Which is
now Sabutio is a brand name, isn't it?
It is. Sabutio's
who invented
name.
It?
So it was Peter Aldoff,
right.
In 1946, if I have it right, and he
1946.
That's how far. So it's 70. It's 75 years old this year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And even in the World Cup in Rome, it was they had on the Friday, the first day, it was a 3-day event. The first day was actually old Sabutio, the wobbly players that we would have playing with.
So the half sphere on the bottom.
Yeah, that's
so
it.
So it's different now, is it?
It's different. Is that the change? And so they've modernised it by giving us flatter bases, which means they slide a bit better on the pitch.
Uh-huh.
You know, they slide a bit better. You can get that. You can get it. You can hit the ball from a bit further away. Okay. You know. But rules have changed as well, so there's a lot more tactics in the game than there was
who
years
won
ago.
The Sabutio World Cup?
So the Sabutio World Cup, I wouldn't know the guy's name, but an Italian guy won
right.
it. An Italian
okay.
guy won it, but the Italians
so Italy
were...
Won.
Yeah,
Italy
yeah,
won.
Italy won the Sabutio World Cup. Yeah,
and
yeah,
Ireland
yeah.
were represented?
We were represented, and we done well. We got put into a group with Germany, which were a huge team. They would expected to go very
yeah,
well,
yeah,
but
yeah.
We knocked them out.
Oh,
with a win and true tactics, and that's the difference with a team to an individual event, that you can use tactics and
right, okay.
stuff to win
now,
a game.
You see, I'm assuming that everybody listening knows what Sabutio is.
Yeah, that's it.
But they probably don't. Because
Because
if you're sort of under 35, you probably don't know what Sabutio
is. That's the thing. So it's a sports table football, and that's the name of the game itself. Okay,
sport table football.
That's a sports table football,
right.
And you're right. The brand name is Sabutio, but it's called sports table.
So it's like vacuum cleaner and Hoover.
Exactly, and that's what it is. But and people know it as Sabutio, so I still call it Sabutio. And there's often been a debate about should we not just be calling it sports table football? It's, people don't know what it is, then you know.
And it sounds boring.
It does sounds boring. Then
boring.
At least with Sabutio, people know they'll remember. They'll you know. So we just call it that. Yeah.
And you've brought the table in. It's over in Studio 8 set up.
Yeah, the table set up.
What teams did you bring?
So I've got a load of teams with me. Okay, but the two teams that set up on the table at this moment are Ukraine and Holland.
Right.
So that's at the moment. Now I've also got one of the old players from in 1994, Republic of Ireland, in the Wobbly Bay, so hand painted as well, you know, just for the colour, you know. So yeah.
And there's a national tournament ongoing.
There is. So we hosted in the Cherry Tree Pub in Walkinstown. We hosted the national champs actually only a couple of weeks ago. Okay, and we're also, there's an ongoing All Ireland kind of national championship. League.
Okay.
So the next round of that is in 2 weeks' time in Gorey, County Wexford. Okay?
And you hold down the job and you have a partner and all that.
Oh yeah. That's it. And that's it. I know. And I love me toys. Playing on bikes on Sabutio and anything. I love me toys. And I have a good few kids. And I work as a psychotherapist. That's what I do.
And you're a happy man.
You have to enjoy it.
So I'll see you then. Are you going? Will we toss for teams or what do we do?
Very good. Yeah. Okay. We can do a toss and we can pick a team.
We have to do it over there.
We can do it over there and we can pick a team and we'll go on that. Yeah.
Now, it was mentioned today that there is a connection between the resurgence in the popularity of Sabutio and the song that mentions Sabutio by The Undertones.
There is a connection because the guy he was the runner-up actually in the National Sabutio Champs just 2 weeks ago, and is Martin O'Bradley, and he is that perfect cousin.
So he's a cousin of one of the lads.
So he could be that perfect cousin, you know, in the song, you know. And
thanks, Andy. We'll see you in Studio 8. Off with you. Good luck. Good afternoon. 2.5 minutes of perfection. The Undertones and My Perfect Cousin. He flicks the kick and I didn't know. Ah, yeah. 51551 RadioRT.ie. I have a Sabutio table from 1972. Never played with it. What? That means it's in pristine condition, which means it's probably worth something. I'll ask Andy about it later on. Mark B says, still love Wordle Ray. I had a 41 game streak going, but changed my phone a few months ago and lost all the old stats. So annoying, says Mark B. And did you know, says Reg, how are you doing, Reg? The longest word in English with just one vowel is strength. S-T-R-E-N-G-T-H-S. Thanks for that, Reg. And tell Bono, it's not French fries, but chipper chips. He would have exploded Stephen Colbert's head if he said chipper chips. There's no idea what chipper chips are over. He just went along with them when he said French fries. They don't know the subtleties of how we do things here. Chip buddy with ham brown sauce. Is it ham brown sauce? Is there such a thing? And mustard. Fantastic, says Colin and Kerry. Thanks for that. Now, better tell you about our quiz. We're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock. And answer 3 questions each on bits of songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. And there is a prize. And we say thank you this week to the Ainua collection of hotels, all gorgeous 4-star hotels all over the country. Kilkenny's chic Hibernian Hotel, the Tullamore Court Hotel, Hillgrove Hotel in Monaghan, the Fairways in Dundalk, or any one of the Radisson Blue Hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick and Sligo. There's something for everyone to enjoy, from overnight getaways and spa treatments to elegant afternoon tea or a delicious meal in one of the many restaurants across the Ainua collection. INUA.ie. Okay, on this Friday afternoon, here is your qualifying question. Which UK politician has entered the jungle for I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here? Which UK politician has entered the jungle for I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here? 0818 715 925. 0818 715 925. I was watching it. It's very odd. I don't know how it's going to pan out for him, who's the answer to our question today, and for the whole production team. It's change the mood in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Anyway, I better say hello to John and Gino, who I met earlier on today. How you doing, John? And Gino listens to the show every day. I think it was a hairdressing salon that he popped his head out of. Anyway, how are you, Gino, if you're listening? We were in town this morning because we were doing what they call in the industry a recce in Dublin Castle, because we are bringing you early in December a special programme called Christmas at the Castle. Oh. There'll be open fires and lovely music and mulled wine. And some of you as well. So we're going to have an audience. It's going to be in Dublin Castle. And we're really looking forward to it. We say thanks to Stephen in advance and for today, who showed us around and showed us all the various rooms that we could broadcast from. So that's happening sometime in December. And I will tell you about that in the near future. Now, we have to take a quick commercial break. Ah, computer says no. Let's see if we can get cooperation from the computer. I think we have, yes.
Hey. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, the great Irish history book is the work of the great Miles Dungan. See that in for an intro. Short That's, and sweet.
I couldn't to the be point, better. To the point. Couldn't be better. They're all asking, who's Miles Dungan? Who's your man?
Well, but that's a history lesson in itself, Miles.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed. I would say more archaeology than history, actually, Ray, quite frankly.
Great anyway, to see you. Great to see you.
Great to see you, sir.
Yeah. These books are brilliant. And there's a series of them, isn't there? Yeah. And you're the latest.
And mine's the best. Much better than David McCullough's. I just want to say that on the record now.
What did he do? Politics?
Politics. The Great right. Irish Politics book.
Luke O'Neill did one on
Luke
science.
Luke did the science book. Joanne did...
Weather.
Yeah, weather.
Yes.
And what was the
They're
other
huge.
One?
Farm. Yeah, They're farm huge, book. Yeah. Aren't they?
They are absolutely massive. I mean, I'm glad you have a copy because I am too old to actually carry a copy into studio with me. It's so bloomin' big. But it's beautiful as well.
Yeah.
And it's brilliantly, you know, Alan Dunn, brilliantly illustrated.
Yeah.
Really, really lovely. It's very colourful, beautifully designed.
Gwyneth, your 10-year-old daughter,
That's
probably
her.
9 at the time, helped you edit it.
She was 10 at the time. And I would. Obviously, I've never written for. I write for kind of people who think of themselves as grown ups, not adults, just grown ups. So when it came to, okay, what word do I use here? You know, can I use a word like profligate? No, you can't use a word like profligate. Forget about it. You know, so I would run things by her. And I figure that if she understood, I'm fine, I'm grand, I'm good.
I'd say her radar for dad jokes was on high alert.
Yeah, her radar for dad jokes is always on high alert. I actually did an event with Alan this morning. It was in Pier Street Library, the Dublin Book Festival, and I had prepared 20 minutes of dad jokes on Irish history. Right. So I decided to run them by her first and just see. The fact that she didn't throw up on my lap meant that it was probably okay. So I hope that if anybody from the two schools who were there this morning is listening. Hopefully it went okay and you weren't too bored.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about Gwyneth again, but we'll stay on the book for the moment because it covers 1,000 years or more than 1,000 years because there's dinosaurs in there and you're right up to most recent history.
It was written by a dinosaur as well.
But you see there.
He's heroic, folks. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Ray, not me, obviously.
Yes. But there's lovely tidbits of information. Can we go through a few of them, if you don't mind? Sort of quickfire.
Right. Isn't a quiz thing, is it?
No, well, you wrote the book, so you should know.
Because we could do the table quiz format, where you just ask questions and I could write out the answers, which would be very good
for radio.
Yeah, not much.
But we're playing some beauty on radio later on. Stick around for that.
Okay. Right. Interesting. Yeah. Good for you. You're a risk taker, mate.
Did the Vikings wear horns on their helmets?
Ray, the Vikings did not wear horns on their helmets. That is actually a complete myth. And apparently the person who's guilty of perpetrating this myth is Richard Wagner, the great German composer. And for one of his 15-hour operas, or maybe it was 17 hours, I'm not quite sure which, I presume some costume designer decided to make the Vikings look more interesting. So they put horns on the helmets. And that's the image that has come down to us from the 19th century of Vikings with horns in their helmets, but apparently they didn't.
Wow. Super Mythbuster Miles Dungan in studio.
Thank you very much.
A little bit more serious. Daniel O'Connell and John D'Astaire.
Yeah. Daniel O'Connell fought a duel. Now, Daniel O'Connell wanted to fight a duel with Robert Peel, who went on to become Prime Minister. I don't think he was Prime Minister. He was,
and
actually.
He gave the name to the Peelers.
The Peelers, the man who gave the name to the Peelers, the man who actually started the police force in Ireland and in the UK and in Britain. But O'Connell actually fought a duel. So this is kind of early on in his career. He's building a reputation for himself as a nuisance, as a Catholic nuisance. Dublin Corporation was exclusively Protestant. assistant, and he said something, I can't remember exactly what it was, but he basically offended them, he insulted them. Now, in those days, it was easy to insult people, and if you insulted somebody, they would send their second, they would challenge you, basically. They would send their second around, have your second meet my second, and all this kind of rubbish. So, what happened was, the guys in the corporation decided they wanted rid of this O'Connell guy, because he was a bit of a nuisance, and little did they know how big a nuisance he would become. So they put up one of their members, who was this guy, John D'Estaire, who was an experienced duelist and who was a deadly shot. And they said, right, we want you to be more offended than any of the rest of us. Uh-huh. So you go and challenge him. So that's exactly what he did. So they met. Probably in Kildare, probably in your neck of the woods, and sort of, you know, a dark, murky, misty, probably in the middle of the Curra or something like that, where everybody could see them. So they met, and they disturbed, you know, retreated 10 paces with pistols. D'Estaire fired first, and he missed, which was most unexpected. And, you know, it'd be like Ian Rush missing a penalty or something like that. And then O'Connell decided, okay, he was going to try and wound D'Estaire. Problem was, O'Connell wasn't a great shot, so he didn't wound him. He killed him. Now, he didn't. Took a couple of days to die. And the story was that D'Estaire had a daughter. And one of the stories was that O'Connell then, it's not in the book because there wasn't room for it, O'Connell looked after her financially for the rest of her life, or the rest of his life. And the other story was, I don't know whether this is true or not, but that on his right hand, he always there, ever thereafter, wore a white glove to remind him of it. Right. Again, I don't know whether it's true. It's probably one of these fanciful myths.
Now, not a myth about Daniel O'Connell was that he was a great orator.
Yeah.
And this is the thing that I've often wondered. Like, how did people hear them? Because we see these, like, from the early 20th century, there's black and white footage of huge throngs of people and a guy up and no PA system.
They had huge, massive PA systems. Yeah, it was like Bruce Springsteen tour.
How did it work?
I always very interested in that. And in fact, this comes from an academic, Kevin Whelan. Kevin's in what you and I would call Notre Dame, but they call Notre Dame in America. So he's in Notre Dame, the Irish section of Notre Dame University. So anyway, what he told me was that when O'Connell was making a speech, he would make the speech from the platform, right? And obviously, this is open air. So, yeah. I mean, it could be the wind could be blowing like it was yesterday. And he could be heard probably by about three rows of people. And that was the height of it. But they had people positioned. They had these wardens positioned who had copies of the speech that he was going to make. And it was like a domino effect, or a reverse domino effect. So he would
say it,
a paragraph of the speech, and then you are in row four, and you will then, as soon as you hear him starting up, right, you start going. As soon as I hear you starting up, I'm about four or five rows further down. I will start, and so on and so forth, right to the perimeter.
So you would get everybody cheering together then.
Everybody would be cheering slightly. It'd be like a Mexican wave effect, of cheers through the crowd.
Now, maybe it's because I do what I do, but I'm fascinated by that.
I know. I was fascinated by that when Kevin told me that. I thought, that's a great story. I have to get that somewhere. Yeah. So I got it into this.
Brilliant. Who was Biddy Early?
Oh, I love Biddy Early. Biddy Early was she a witch? Was she not a witch? She certainly was found not guilty of being a witch, or wasn't found guilty of being a witch, which is not quite the same thing. So Biddy Early, she was born in the year of the 1798 rebellion, and she died in 1874. So she died around 75, 76. So that, you know, in those
good
days,
life,
that was a pretty long life, very long life in actual fact. But she was somebody who learnt the cure, or the cures, from her mother. So she had all these kind of potions and all this kind of
lotions
stuff.
And potions,
and she would look after people, and she would cure people, and she became very, very famous in County Clare. I gather she never actually got to leave County Clare. She never got out of the county. They probably wouldn't let her go anywhere. Afraid she wouldn't come back, and she'd go up to Dublin and start flogging this stuff. So anyway, some people didn't like her, and they just, people who didn't like her were Catholic priests, for example, because because she didn't get on with them, and you know, they didn't like her at all. So she was charged with witchcraft.
Right.
This would have been in the 1860s. Imagine that, charged with witchcraft.
Punishable by what?
I don't know. I mean, the law probably hadn't been repealed, so the law was 300 years old. So I mean, theoretically, I don't know, could she have been burnt at the stake if she was found guilty?
Well, she wasn't.
That's what they. She wasn't. A number of people who were supposed to testify against her decided they wouldn't testify against her. And for a while, she did well. The problem was that people used to pay, they'd look after her. She wouldn't charge people, but they would look after her. But they tended to look after her with poaching. Now, I'm not sure whether she succumbed to it, because that's pretty well all they had. They didn't have much cash. But she died, as I say, in her mid 70s,
yeah.
And she didn't have a screed.
There's
left
probably
at
a
the
song
time.
Or two about Biddy Early.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Dustin gets a mention as well.
Oh, Dustin has to get a mention. Because we go pretty much right up to date, and I chronicle the fact, and I chronicle the period, which you would be well familiar with, and I am too, when Ireland could not lose the Eurovision Song Contest. Try as we might, we could not lose the darn thing. 1987 to 1996, we won 5 Eurovision Song Contests.
And we only played it the other day in our quiz, Mary Kennedy saying, welcome to the Point Theatre again.
Again.
For the annual, three times in a row.
It was Mill Street, and you know, all this, so just couldn't lose the darn thing. And then we did, and then we couldn't get it back again, and we haven't been able to get it back again.
And a lot
since.
Of people blame Dustin. You don't, in fairness.
No, I don't. I think Dustin's immensely talented, and you know, Dustin went there to the heart of Eurovision, and you know, he sang a song called Irlande 12 points.
Yeah.
But you and I both recognise his genius, but I don't think the other juries around
and
Europe.
Some people in Ireland didn't recognise it either.
15th out of 19 in the semi-final.
Yeah.
So
well,
he's
done better than some
well,
other
he did better
entries.
Than three
said,
others,
yeah.
anyway, or four others.
The great Irish history book, Miles Dungan, you can't miss it. It's in shops and it's huge and it's brilliant and it's illustrated by Alan Dunn and edited by your 10-year-old daughter Gwyneth.
Yes.
So you have 4 and 1.
4 and 1, yeah. Four and one. Married twice.
Yeah.
4 and 1.
And you're well into your 60s.
I am.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I'm kind of edging into my 60s. Yeah, I'm well into my 60s.
So the older dad.
Yeah.
You've thought about this, obviously, in your
mind. Yeah. My dad was an older dad. I don't see any problem with it. The thing being that as you get older, you have a little bit more flexibility, so you have more time to spend with whether they want it or not.
Yeah.
That's another problem. But it's fine. I certainly have the energy for it. There's no doubt about that.
And did you do the maths? I find myself doing the maths sometimes.
The maths?
You know.
I think I know what you're talking about. I'm not sure I want to know what you're talking
about.
When
Gwyneth is 21,
I do actually. I do.
We leave that. We go back to your dad, which is also a serious topic, because he was an older dad and he died at 56 when you were 10.
Yeah.
On a golf course.
He was and weirdly I didn't know an awful lot about the actual ins and outs of it because, as you say, I was 10 years of age myself, and had a conversation because I live in the town that he died in. I live in Kells, my beloved Kells, and a couple of years ago had a conversation with a gentleman. I didn't know him. I knew his son. But he told me, Paddy Woods is his name, and Paddy took me aside and said, I was with your dad when he died. And this is the interesting thing about going back to Kells, you know. Other places, you know yourself, you get recognised, oh yeah, you're your man off the telly who did the American football or the golf or whatever, or I recognise the voice or whatever. In Kells, it's, I knew your dad.
Right.
You know, and that's the big difference. I suppose that's the thing that kind of brings you back, because I didn't know him particularly well, you know, when he went when I was 10 years of age. But the nice thing about Paddy said to me, look, I was with them. I was in the four ball that he was playing in. It was the I was on the fifth green in Headford Golf Club, and I heard a noise behind me. I looked back, and your dad had collapsed. He was on the ground. His clubs were on the ground. That's what I heard. I ran to him. I think he was dead before he hit the ground. So that's the first time anybody has ever said that to me. So at least, you know, I knew. No, I mean,
because your mother's way of coping was to move on swiftly.
She moved on pretty swiftly. She was married within a couple of years, and I didn't move on, basically.
Well, you weren't given a, you weren't given a chance.
No, I wasn't. None of us were, really, because you know, within a very short period of time, there was no further conversation in the house about my father.
And there was a stepdad.
Pardon?
There was a stepdad.
There was a stepdad, who I didn't really get on with particularly well, but that's another story. You know, I mean, does anybody get on well with their stepdads? It's very, very, very difficult. You have to be a very special person as a stepdad to get on with, you know, to get on with kids. But, interestingly, it took me a while to figure out, you know, as some of your listeners may know, I have done documentary series or whatever over the years and have written books and stuff about I was fascinated by American soldiers in Vietnam who came home from the Vietnam War and are kind of forgotten and written out of history. And I was obsessed with Vietnam. I grew up, you know, with the Vietnam War, and that was one reason. But I was also, there was another reason I was obsessed with, and I couldn't quite figure it out. And then I kind of moved on to Irish veterans of the First World War, who were also kind of came home and were written out of history and all this kind of thing. And it took me a while to realise what my fascination was. Now, I mean, probably anybody who's listening go, yeah, we've already figured it out, actually, from you talking. It took you 40 years to figure it. It was because my father was written out of history, and these guys were written out of history, hence the
that seems tenuous
obsession.
Enough to me now, Miles.
Does it?
Yeah.
I mean,
you believe that to be true. I think it
is true, because I could never quite figure out why was I so interested in those particular men, these two topics. No interest in military history. No interest in war.
It was just
it was the human stories. Yes. It was the human. Yeah, it was the human stories.
And was there a time in your life when you? You know, because at 10, you don't use phrases like written out of history or whatever.
Mm.
Was there a time in your life when you realised that your dad had been written out of your history?
Yeah, and I'm ashamed to say it was probably about 3 or 4 years ago.
All right.
Yes. Yeah. It took me that long to realise that, that he had been, and that, you know, there weren't any photographs, there wasn't any conversation about him. And because a lot of these things are a blur at the time, particularly when you're a kid. And also,
I believe you didn't take to the bed, you took to under the bed for 3 days.
Yeah, apparently. You know, again, I have no memory of this. Okay. My sister tells
to me. It must have been traumatic, of course.
Well, it obviously was. I mean, I don't remember it. I don't. Yeah. She tells me that I spent, after he died, after I was told that he dies, I retreated to under my bed and I wouldn't come out for 3 days. And she basically had to feed me. She had to shove food into me. And I absolutely refused to come out from under the bed, apparently. That's so I'm told. Yeah. I trust her on that one. She's very trustworthy. She's in law.
Your book last year, Four Killings, you have interesting people in your family.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that book another time. But I'm wondering, would you, because that wasn't a memoir as such. These are people.
Not as such.
No.
These were previous generations.
Previous generations.
It was, to some extent, it was a thank you to my grandmother.
Mm.
I had this wonderful, wonderful grandmother. And I mean, amongst other things, that I, you know, when my father died, I didn't go to the cemetery. My grandmother stayed with me and my little sister. And, you know, I have great memories of this lovely woman who used to tell me stories, and you know, she would talk to me, and but she would tell me stories about the War of Independence. She was telling me stories about being rousted out by the Black and Tans, and of course I just went into every pore of my being, and I think it's probably what gave me an interest in history. And then as I got more into history and, you know, began to study it or whatever, I began to doubt, you know, was she making this stuff? Why would my lovely sweet grandmother, why would the Black and Tans be interested in my lovely sweet grandmother? Yeah. And that's when I started researching the book and found out all the stuff she hadn't told me
about
her brothers who were in the IRA.
So Four Killings, if people want to find out more about that.
Yeah.
And just a yes or no to this. So would you consider writing a memoir? Because no.
Do you know something? Here's the thing,
I asked for a yes or no, and he's going to go give me answer. No, that's fair enough, because you're a broadcaster.
And it would be prompted by this, because I woke up at 6 o'clock this morning and I started thinking, oh yeah, okay, there's that and there's that and there's that, and yeah, maybe, I don't know. There you go. Here's a straight answer
for
you.
The great Irish history book, Miles Duncan, illustrated by Alan Dunne. You can't miss it in bookshops.
You sure can't. It takes up the entire window of the bookshop.
Miles, great to see you. Mind yourself.
Great to see you. Thanks, Ray.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, we sprinted down to Studio 8 and we're in the company of the Mary Wallopers.
Hello.
Hello. Sean, Andrew, Charles.
Yes, that's us.
Great to see you again.
Great to see you.
The last time we met, we were on the Den.
Yes. Childhood dream come true. Yeah.
Well, that was a marriage made in, not heaven probably, somewhere, some weird place.
Yeah, it was probably the other place downstairs.
You and Dustin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a dream come true.
Yeah, we've been practicing since we were kids for that.
My photo on WhatsApp is still that photo.
Is it?
And I keep forgetting that it is, so every time I message a new person, they go, oh, you were on the Den. And then I proudly say yes.
We thought we'd made it when we got to play with John Sheehan from the Dubliners, and then Dustin came along and just blew it out of the water.
Sorry, John.
When you're dusting, you're dusting.
Yeah. Congratulations on the album, lads.
Thank you very much.
I really love it. I'm not blowing smoke up your,
up there. You can if you like. We don't mind that at all.
Yeah. No, there's something raw and fresh and punky and, just vibrant.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Energetic, yeah.
It's honest and raw music.
Yeah, yeah. And you're in the middle of a tour.
Yes.
Yes.
We just finished our first leg in England and Wales.
Right. Not that they listen, I don't know if they do, but producers to Jules Holland, I said if they're listening, they should get you on.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. Get the money out of the wallet, wouldn't you?
You'd be
love
perfect.
It. Yeah. Yeah, sure, he'd love it.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't love it?
Yeah, yeah.
Many people.
Right. Now, you're going to play two songs for us.
Yes.
The first one is Cod Liver Oil.
Yes.
A lot of your songs, where do you gather them from?
So, all over the place. Sometimes we collect songs in pubs, and sometimes we just find songs on YouTube.
We used to do sessions every week, and every week we just all try to have new songs. So we just ended up learning hundreds of songs.
Yeah. Yeah,
but we never got a chance to learn how to sing or play around.
Do you know the way they say quality over quantity? We're the opposite.
We're quantity
over quality, yeah. In a big way.
How are you, Sean? You okay?
Not too bad.
Good to see you. Right, the Mary Wallopers from their eponymous...
Still don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Sounds good though.
Album. And this is Cod Liver Oil. When you're ready, lads.
Out of the east, there came a hard man. Oh, ho, ho. All the way for break the night. Glory, hallelujah. Cod liver oil and the orange juice. He went into a pub and he came out paralytic. Oh ho ho, VP and cider. What a hell of a mixture. Cod liver oil and the orange juice. This bus go to the dentist in Pally. Oh ho ho, I'm looking for a lumber. Glory, hallelujah. Cod liver oil and the orange juice. There in the dancing he met Hairy Mary. Oh ho ho, the flower of the gorbals. Glory, hallelujah. Liver oil and the orange juice. Oh now Mary, are you dancing? Oh no, it's just that we am stoning. Glory hallelujah. Cod liver oil and the orange juice. Oh now Mary, you're one in a million. Oh ho ho, so's your chances. Glory, hallelujah. Cod liver oil and the orange juice. Oh now Mary, can I run you home? Oh ho ho, I've got a pair of sand shoes. You're a hell of a funny. Cod liver oil and the orange juice. For the first time, glory, hallelujah. mother came out. She was going to the kludgy. Oh ho ho, I buggered off sharpish. Ha ha ha, glory hallelujah. Cod liver oil and the orange juice. Now Harry and Mary had a little baby. Oh ho ho, the father's in the army. Ah ha ha, glory hallelujah. Cod liver oil and the orange juice. Harry and Mary's looking for her hard man. Oh ho ho, he joined a foreign legion. Ah ha ha, Sahara under a camel. God liver oil and the orange juice. God liver oil and the orange juice.
That's great. There's a great groove to it, isn't there?
There is a great old groove to it, like all of our songs.
Yeah. the Mary Wallivers are staying around to play a bit of Sabutio and another song.
Very, very much looking forward to it.
Right, right now we have to take a quick commercial break. Thanks, lads.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Gura Mahakut, thank you very much. Have a great weekend. 51551 ray at rte.ie. Just to catch up on a few of the texts we didn't get to in the last hour. A daily dose of the Mary Wallopers on YouTube after a stressful day is the best way to feel human again. That's Martin, who says Slointe. He's in Portobello. And have to correct Miles Dungan. There are thankfully lots of children who get on very well and are much loved by their step parents. That's fair enough. And Carrie says, you don't know what you're missing. Chip butty. Mmm. Fresh sliced pan. Do frozen chips in the air fryer. Cooked chips. Loads of butter. Absolutely delicious, says Carrie. And JP has been on from Cork City. How are you doing, JP? Your fun fact for this Friday. Hey, I love a bit of alliteration. The guy that invented the table football game Sabutio wanted to call it the hobby, but he wasn't allowed, as there are many other types of hobby. Being the clever chap he was, he knew that there was a small bird of prey called the Eurasian hobby, which was in Latin the Falco Sabutio, hence the name. Wow, that's a very involved fact, JP. I don't know if I want people to go away, bring that with them to the pub or wherever they're going tonight, but there you go. And great to hear you're featuring the newly refurbished Sabutio. Did you know that in its latter life, it was made in Waterford? Of course, Hasbro, didn't they? They had a factory down there. Its creator, Peter Adolf, was a great friend of my family and my father's company, which Peter bought, made all his plastic figures and goals and grandstands. It is pure coincidence that I ended up living in Passage East, but the manufacturing part of the company still flourishes in Kent. That's mad, Graeme. So you're not originally from Waterford, but you're living in Passage East. And lovely connection there. We might give you a call and see if you come in and tell us that whole story. Or yeah, we'll see what happens. Okay, quiz time. Press the button there. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, we've two quizzers standing by and we have a prize. And it is a two-night stay in one of the gorgeous four-star Ainua Collection hotels. The Hibernian Hotel in Kilkenny, Tullamore Court Hotel, Hillgrove Hotel in Monaghan, the Fairways Dundalk, and any one of the Radisson Blue Hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick and Sligo. Ainua.ie. And thanks so much for helping us out this week. Ainua.ie. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Ray. How are you doing?
You are in Newcastle West, but you know that.
I am indeed. Thank you for I am. I know that. Yeah. Yes, fine town, Newcastle West.
And it's a Friday. You know that as well. Tell us what Friday has in store for you, Friday evening.
Well, Friday evening is usually is fish and chips evening, so from the Tripper.
Nice.
And the only thing I have in common with Bono is that we both like chip butties. So I haven't got his money, but I'll be able to afford fish and chips.
Right. And will you have a chip butty tonight now?
Absolutely, no doubt about it.
Right.
Chips, fish and chips come from Mamma Mia's in the square, Newcastle West.
Right, great. And then just fresh white pan, is it?
Fresh white pan with lots of butter.
Right.
And a bit of chef red sauce.
Ah, yeah, just a little film of it, yeah.
Just a little bit of it.
Right, and one slice, and then you gingerly place the chips there. And do you do them in a row or just pile them in?
In a row. And actually, one slice and fold over, Ray.
Oh, just I see. There you go.
Very important.
Very important. So it's fish and chip night. And it'll be I'm a Celeb. I'm a Celebrity. Look, it's great this year, isn't it?
It's excellent.
Yeah.
It's excellent. And the people side of it is going to get more. Is going to get better. I'm not a fan of Matt Hancock. And if he's in the jungle for 14 days or 14 nights, I'm sure he'll slip up at some stage and we'll have plenty to talk about.
But Ant and Dec are on fire.
Absolutely on fire, but they struggled a bit with him there when he was doing that challenge.
Yeah, I know. Yes. Really, yeah.
It was a bit like the interview, you know, going, "Oh, what am I going to say next to this fella?" But
I think like the rest of us, they're going, "What is this? Is this actually happening? Should this be happening?" And that's I asked that question last night as well. Should it be happening? You know, that a guy who was in such a high up position at such a serious time in the history of the world and the UK and Britain, should he be on a show like that? You know?
Well, it's his decision. It's his decision to go on, and if he wants to put himself out there and let the people see what he's like, or maybe he wants us to see the real Matt Hancock.
Yeah, but you see, do you ever see the real politician? Like it's going to be contrived and thought through and planned, and you know. Anyway,
Ray, if he's there now, as they say, he'll be getting tired and everything like that, so he won't be able to keep the veil up for 14 nights.
Fair point. Yeah, and he might just slip, but the mask will slip if there is a mask. Yeah, yeah. You're up against Vera Murphy, who's in Wexford. How are you doing, Vera?
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Good to talk to you. Whereabouts in Wexford are you?
Clarystown.
Say again.
Clarystown.
What's that Dustin one? He says sorry, and then he and you say it again. He said, "I heard you the first time. I'm just sorry." Anyway, so what's the plan this evening now?
Fish for dinner, and then I'm a Celebrity getting out of here
as well. Right, yes. In your house, yeah. And would you be a regular, or did you just come to it this year?
Oh no, regular.
Regular, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Love it.
And we've met before, have we?
Yes, we have, Ray. Back in 1992, 93.
Right.
You were on the Zig and Zag show.
I was.
And my two boys won the Colgate Smile of the Year.
Oh, yes.
And you had James and Cian in the studio.
Yes.
You had Cian sitting on your lap.
Right.
James sitting beside you. And Zig and Zag kept taking their hats. Their Colgate hats off them.
Right, okay. The baseball hats, yeah.
James didn't mind, but Cian, he was only five, he kind of, you know, told me they were very bold.
So, by my calculations, Cian is now 35.
Cian, it'll be 35 in December.
What age is James?
40 in December.
My word.
And we have all the memorabilia, we have all the papers, everything.
I suppose they would have been in the local papers, wouldn't they?
Yeah, sure. The first thing they were in was on Saturday morning, the front page of Dirt Independent.
Right. It was big news.
Yes. On the front page of Dirt Independent.
And was there an open-top bus when you returned down to... Yeah,
yeah. Brendan Howland arranged on the Saturday when we came back, civic reception back into Wexford.
That's mad, isn't it? That's crazy.
I tell you, for weeks we were known as the parents of James and Cian.
That's a lovely memory. That's a lovely memory. Okay, so it's Vera up against Tim. You know the deal. Three questions each. If you go for a long clip, you get a point. Go for a shorter clip and you get 2 points. Whoever gets most points is the winner. And if it's a draw on points, we go to a tiebreak question. Okay. Good luck to you both. Here we go.
Good luck, Vera.
There we go. Right. Now, Tim, the year is 1989. Do you want to go? And we're starting at the movies. Do you want to go long or short?
Short.
Okay. Robin Williams stars in a drama about an unorthodox English teacher who tries to inspire his students. And here's your clip by way of a clue.
Mr. Keating, they made everybody sign it. You gotta believe me, it's true.
I do believe you, Tom.
Leave, Mr. Keating.
But it wasn't his fault.
Sit down, Mr. Anderson.
Well, any idea?
I can see him standing on the desk.
Yeah.
No.
Dead Poets Society. He was a brilliant actor. It grossed 235 million and it got an Oscar for best screenplay. Right, Vera, that opens the door for you to go ahead. Movies from 1989. Do you want to go long or short?
Sure, go short.
Short, okay. Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan starred in this romantic comedy. Here is your clip by way of a clue.
Why don't you tell me the story of your life?
The story of my life?
We've got 18 hours to kill before we hit New York.
The story of my life isn't even going to get us out of Chicago. I mean, nothing's happened to me yet.
When Harry Met Sally.
Yes. They wanted to play the cafe scene, but I said, no, you can't do that in the afternoon. But you get 2 points. Well done. Tim, back to you. You're under pressure now, and it's music from 1989.
I'll have to go short, Ray.
You will have to go short, yes. This song rocked its way to the top of the charts. Can you name the song or the singer?
No, Red.
No, not there, no. That's okay. Alice Cooper and Poison.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, there you go. Now, right, Vera, I'm just looking at it. If you get anything from this, Tim can't catch it.
Oh.
There you go. A short quiz today.
Okay.
There were tough ones there, Tim. But, Vera, so do you want to go long or short?
Go short.
Go long, okay. This song soared to the top of the charts. Can you tell us the name of the song or the name of the singer? Here's your long clip.
Harry Truman, Doris Day, Regina, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio, Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Studebaker, television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe.
Now.
We Didn't Start the Fire, Billy Joel.
There you go, yeah. You get a point for that. You're on three. Tim, you can't catch Vera.
Well done, Vera.
Well done. Sorry about that now, Chris.
Yeah.
No problem. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Tim, you are one of the few people in the country who will own a brand new Ray D'Arcy Show Keep Cup.
Thanks very much, Ray. I'll be drinking my tea out of it next week when I'm having my chip buddy.
There you go. They're a thing of beauty. Enjoy the chip buddy and the fish and the I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. See you, Tim.
Thanks.
Good luck. See
thanks,
you. Bye.
Ray,
bye. Vera, there's going to be a civic reception for you tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Ray.
And you're going to appear on the cover of the Irish Independent. No, you're not.
Yeah.
But I tell you what you will do. You will get to take somebody of your choice away to an Ainua collection hotel, which is great.
Thank you. So brilliant. So brilliant.
Great.
Thank you.
INUA.ie, Vera. That's where you can go and you can choose the hotel and you'll see what's in store for you. Have a great weekend, Vera.
Thank you very much, Ray.
Bye now. Bye. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray at rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We're back in Studio 8. The Merry Wallopers are still here. How are you doing, lads? They're the crowd, actually, because in front of me is a Subutio table brought in by Andy Fitzpatrick from the Cherry Tree Dublin Subutio Club. We spoke to him briefly at the top of the show, but we're back here. Good to see you again, Andy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
We got a lovely warm reaction on text from people who remember the studio. There's a man from somewhere who has a table that he got in 1972 and never played it.
Wow. Yeah.
I'd say there's a lot of collectors around the world.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of people collecting the old stuff. And, you know, if you put it on eBay, you'd probably get a few quid for it as well now. You know what I mean? That's. So there's a lot of people that are big into collecting the stuff, you know. Yeah.
It must seem very quaint when you show this to Daniel, your stepson who's 12.
Yeah, absolutely. But Daniel fell in love with it nearly straight away. He fell in love with how you play and the rules around it, because there's a lot to it. And you get, when you're playing the game, you get really, really lost in it, you know?
Yeah.
So when you're playing that for that 10 minutes or 15 minutes and a half, it's, you know, you get lost and you don't think about anything else. And I think it's great for mental health, for mindfulness,
It's definitely not screen time.
No, it's
there's
not.
There's no doubt about that.
With screen time, that's what kind of killed the game originally. You know what I mean? Was because
FIFA,
everybody
all
used
those
to just play this as tournaments, but then FIFA and PlayStations and everything else came out and it took over.
Right.
what kids were interested
now,
in.
Now this is high end table, isn't it?
Absolutely. So talk us through it. Yeah. So what's in front of us here? This is what you'd play on an international level. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you'd play this in an international tournament, and any professional tournaments, the pitches are from extreme.
What are the dimensions?
So I'm thinking 3x4 or 3x5 or so. It'd be roughly, you know what I mean?
Three feet by five feet.
Roughly. So it's all like,
money,
like a small pool table. You know what I mean? That's what it is. Like a normal small pool table.
Yeah.
That'd be about the size of it, you know. And even the material feels like a pool table as well.
I can't see the clock, just so people know.
Just with the pianos in the way there. That's all. Yeah, no, we should, because that's important, because we have to be finished at 4:30.
No, that's okay. Keeping the time.
Because we have to have a match as well.
Yeah, that's okay.
I came down, right? It was set up.
Yeah.
And I did flick, as I was flicked back in the 70s, and you said, I have to stop you there, right?
That's it.
I have to stop you. That's an illegal flick.
Yeah, so once you flick it off at home, that's an eagle flick. And if you see on that undertone song that we were talking about when he said flick the kick, he flicked the kick and I didn't know, that's what he was talking about.
So I sort of use my thumb
to propel the finger.
Yes.
That's what it is. So
I launch off the thumb.
Yeah, and that's illegal.
That's illegal.
Yeah. So you can launch off the table, or you can just do a kind of an air flick, you know what I mean, to hit the ball. So that's...
Look at you, the professional. Do you see that? Messy. That's messy. Here's the amateur here, look.
That's it. Oh, yeah. Very good. Very good.
Not bad at all.
Natural. That's it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Natural.
So you've Holland and Ukraine.
Holland and Ukraine. They're the two teams I have at the moment.
Right.
And there's even an old Republic of Ireland 1994 hand-painted player.
So it's sort of a quarter of a sphere, is the base.
And that's now, the old style. That's what people more remember. And these are kind of they're more of a flatter base, which means you can get more
about
accurate
the size
shots.
Of a euro.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. It means you can flick it a bit more naturally. You know, that's and they'll go a bit.
And if I flick one of my players and hits one of your players before it hits the ball,
that's a free kick. So that's a free kick. That's what it is. And then if it's a free kick, you'd put the ball down wherever the foul took place. I'd nominate a player to take it.
Okay.
I'd do a positional flick it's called, and then you'd take a block and flick to counteract that,
right.
And then I'd go ahead with me free flick. That's
okay. Well, let's toss to see who, you know, because to choose teams. Daniel, are you going to play ref this or not? Sure, whatever.
You can ref.
Okay, here we go. Do you want heads or tails?
Heads will do me.
Heads it is.
Very good, very good. So I'll go with Holland.
Oh, will you?
Yeah, that's
right.
It. Yeah,
okay, I'll go Ukraine then. Okay,
that's
fair
it.
Enough.
Yeah.
So
very good.
Give me €2 back there. So
I was about to grab that. That was.
Do you need to put your team back in the position?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Put them
right
back into position, and I'll set them up kind of around.
Now we've about. I think it's first to score, lads. Is that okay?
That's. I think that's.
Next goal wins.
Next goal wins.
Mind if we do a bit of betting?
Absolutely.
I don't want to encourage betting.
No.
I suppose you want Ukraine to win, really, don't you?
I know it would be nice to see.
Now, I don't know how this is going to pan out. I doubt that Sabuto has ever been played on the radio before.
I know.
Mind you, they did do dancing on the radio back in the day.
Okay, so this could work. This could be a new fad, you know.
They
used to actually do dancing on the radio.
They should bring it back.
That's it, absolutely.
Followed by the kissing competition.
Okay, that was a bit of an answer on the radio. Okay, I'm just getting the mic in position.
So you're on tip off, right?
And is it played at pace?
It's playing at pace. So every flick that you take, I'd have a block and flick. Okay, now you don't have to wait for my block and flick. So that's the way it is. But you've got, and you can have three flicks with one player on the ball. You'd have to use another player before you take another flick. But don't worry about that in this game.
Listen, we haven't been music. I know it's a bit cliched, but there you go. It's Friday afternoon on the radio. So we'll cue that, and we have a pretend crowd as well. They're all in the background there.
Very good.
The only thing we've got was a whistle.
There you go. So we're out for it. We're out for a throw in.
You can do the commentary, yeah.
We take a flick in. Oh, you have a block and flick.
A block and flick, okay.
Yeah,
there you go.
Very good. Brilliant stuff. Right.
That's four there. Can I kick the ball? Can I get the ball there?
No, you can't get the ball.
Oh, can't get the ball.
You have to wait till I miss.
All right.
It's a very risky shot. This.
Okay.
Terrible. So it's your.
Can I put him in position?
Okay, right. Unlucky.
It was just bad. It's back in possession. Holland are back in possession.
Holland are back in possession. That's it. Yeah. Block flicks.
Your ball. Look at you, come on.
That's it, your ball. You're snookered.
I haven't played since the 70s, lad. And he played last night, and I played back in the 70s, so he has an advantage.
Take your keeper, and we go for the shot.
Oh!
Oh,
host. Goal kick.
Okay.
Very good.
Yeah! Yeah! Oh, back in the net! Back in the net!
It's probably ruined. I'm not allowed to score from
it's
the
free kick. It's all right. Don't mind. No, you're not allowed. That's a you won fair and square.
Well,
that's
Ukraine won. Ukraine won.
That
mini
was brilliant.
Beautiful international in studio. Thanks very much, Mark, for that. That's Matching Day there in the background. Thanks to the crowd as well. That was great. We might organise some sort of a tournament. I like it. And do you know? And this is the serious note that it is. It takes you completely out of the world.
It does. It takes you completely out. There's nothing else in your mind when you're playing this. For that 15 minutes and a half, you're totally gone. You know what I mean?
Mindful playing.
There's a tournament in Wexford in Gorry in 2 weeks' time, and that'd be a place to go to.
I don't know if I want to be the poster boy of Subutio.
It'd be great. Just come in and do it. You'd be grand.
Thanks. Daniel, thanks.
Thank you.
And thanks for bringing it to the table. Mary Wallopers are still with us. And we've played this tune a good few times. Got a great reaction to it.
Oh, good.
So now we're going to hear it live.
We're about to hear it live.
From the eponymous.
The eponymous.
New
yes.
album, the Mary Wallopers. And you're on tour all over the place, and people can go to your website, which is?
Which is the www.marywallopers.com.
Yes.
Well, we came up with that name ourselves.
Wow.
Yeah, it suits the band.
It does,
it does.
But, and the album, that took a long time to come up with a name for that as well.
We were scratching our heads over that one. But we're in the National Stadium next week as well.
Brilliant.
Playing in Dublin.
Boxing or playing?
Well, no, don't mind a bit of boxing. If you buy the ticket, you'll get your money's worth, I guarantee you. Yeah.
Will I count you in?
Yeah, go
for it. Hand-o, 3.
Over, what would I do? Will I fill it again? What would you do if the cow with the clover? What would I do? Will I set it again? The plates are dug, the herons are roasting. Get the lay over close for the wall. You'd be drunk, me to be sober. Get the lay over close for the wall. If you married a soldier, what would I do? Will I follow his gun? What would I do if he died in the ocean? What would I do? Will I marry again? The prince are dug, the herons are roasted. Get the lay over close by the wall. It's been drunk, beat to be sober. Get the lay over close by the wall. If you married a landlord, what would I do? I'd do that for the fun. What would you do if he tried to evict you? What would I do? I'd give him the gun. The plates are dug and the herons are roasting. Get the lay over close by the wall. You'd be drunk, beat to be sober. Get the lay over close by the wall.
brilliant.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And you broke a string, Charles.
I broke a string. It's rock and roll.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
I see it every time.
Every single one of our gigs.
I do. You're not having fun if you don't break a string. That's the Mary Wallopers, Sean, Andrew, Charles, thanks
thank
very much.
You. Thank you.
Mark, Jamie and Damien helped you sound really good today, so thank you to them.
Thank you.
That's it from us. Drive Time is on the way with Cormac and Sarah. We're back on Monday. Have a great weekend.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.